God exactly what's going on in my life right now. God knows. He knew you were going to go through it. He actually equipped you for it. Well, praise God. We got a few things we're going to do this morning. And yes, I better get mine out. We're going to bless the tithe and offering. But, you know, God is a good father. It's kind of fitting for today's message and what we're about to do. The more we get to know God as Father, the more we realize we never knew God. And we'll talk, I might hit some aspects of that during the message today, but let's bless the tithe and offering. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you that you are a good Father. Father, that you do not do anything or allow anything to come into our lives that we cannot handle, that we are not equipped for. Father, and that if we are in error, you are there with us as well. You've never left us nor forsaken us. And so, Father, today we present to you our tithe and our offering. Father, I bless it now according to your word. Bless the gift and the giver in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated for a moment. We have something we want to do. Before the children are dismissed. Well, as you know, there's many roles that I get to do as pastor, and weddings, funerals, and baby dedications. And this one is special. Even more special than my other family. Because this one is mine. So what we would like to do, now if you've never been to one of our baby dedications here, we do not baptize babies. Many people believe that you are not saved until you are baptized. That is absolutely wrong. You are saved when you say, Jesus, be my Lord. You are born again when you're water baptized. Two totally different things. But what I do, what I believe the important thing is in dedicating a baby is we're dedicating as a family that we will live righteous before the Lord, that we will raise this child before God, and that we will do our best to be an example of Christ to this child. And so at that, I would like Joshua and Tony to come up with Carter. And now, I'm going to ask the rest of the family to come up. So come on. We have great grandmothers here. We have grandmothers here. We have, come on, Brooke, you're part of this family too. Get up here, Justin. Give the phone to Araya. She can take the picture. Thank you, Araya, for jumping right in there and rescuing me. But here's the part I get. Oh, yeah. Yes, we can move down. But we have a responsibility, and I will step out here so that everybody can fill in. And as Carter's family, we have the responsibility. Some of us are not directly responsible for his immediate upbringing, but when he is around us, we do have the responsibility to watch our mouths, to glorify God, to show him what it's like to be a man or what it's like to be a woman. Today, that is lost. We have children that can't identify as anything because 9 times out of 10, they don't have those strong figures in their lives. That's not saying that we're perfect, but I look up here and I do believe we have a good representation. But I charge all of you from great-grandparents to grandparents, to aunts, uncles. I'm trying to figure out what are you, Brooke? You're my niece. Cousin, yes. Yeah, that whole second removed stuff, yeah. But we have the responsibility to speak into his life. We have the responsibility to live godly before him, before God. And that's not just for him, that's for us, for our own children's sake. So today we are dedicating him, that we are going to live righteous lives, and that he will grow up to be a mighty man of God. I speak that forth over him today. And I will get through this. But so let's pray, shall we? Father God in heaven, we come before you today in Jesus' name as the family of Carter Lee. Father, we present him to you. And we dedicate, Lord, that we will live our lives righteously before you, and that we will be good representatives of you to him. Father, we will point him to you. We will train him up in the way that he should go. Father, we will teach him good things. We will teach him mercy and love. Father, we will teach him how to be strong. Father, I pray now that you help every last one of us to live these out before you and before him and in front of our family. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, praise God. Well, you ain't getting him. Oh. No, I'll give him back to dad. Yeah. And I'll give them back. And now I'm going to just pray over mom and dad. Father, I thank you for this couple. Lord, right now, I bless them in Jesus' name. Father, they have created a life. Father, they have created another unique individual in this world out of 6 billion people. He is unique. So, Father, I pray that you help them to raise him. Father, that when they fight with each other, that they realize that he sees them. Father, we all do it. Father, I pray right now that you help them. Bless them, Lord, and give them strength to raise him, wisdom, and how to direct his paths. Father, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, now, am I done? Okay, praise God. You may be seated. And at this point, the super kids are dismissed. And that is on air conditioning, right? That's still on air conditioning? Okay. Whoo, doggy. It was cold in my house, and it's roasting in here. Oh, praise God. For those of you that are wondering, I've been informed that that is our new baptismal out front, and that we will baptize people starting next week. But no, it is honestly, the hole that is in the front of the church now is for the new sewer line going to the bathrooms on the new additions, what that's for. And I praise God that the water did not come into the building through there, because when I dug it and I hit the tile that carries all the water from this side of the building over, it started filling up. It was just a drizzle. And then last night I'm laying there and I'm like, it's rained for hours. I bet there's water running in. But praise God, he gave me wisdom and told me to clean that other thing out and the water will go up and run in. And it did it. You know, that's the kind of things I'm talking about. Here's something we failed to mention to our children, that we talk to God, that we ask God. We just tell them, now ask God. Well, you never told your child that you ask God to lead you, to guide you, to direct you in something. How is your child going to know to do that? The other day, Friday, when I wasn't going to have time to get over here Friday evening to dig, I went and got the mini track hoe, which I am not going to lie, I really want a backhoe. Maybe one a little bit bigger, but I really want one. They're fun. So I got the thing, unloaded it, and was going to do a few things there at the house real quick, and man, I couldn't do that one. So, you know what? I'm going to go tear up this groundhog hole. He'd been hiding. He's got a vacation spot back here in the weeds. So I went and dug, and I thought, hopefully I'll find him home. Well, I didn't. Well, I still want to dig. So I got an area we're going to turn into a pond. I drove the thing down in there, and I start knocking down the weeds and start digging a hole. It's great to be able to just to dig a hole for no reason. Yeah. And the thing was, Justin, as soon as I just got it off the trailer. He's like, can I drive? I'm like, you got to wait your turn. I said, not right at the moment. And you know, he looked at me and I said, you'll get your chance. So I had to move it somewhere. And I said, here, why don't you drive it from here and do this? And he drove it and I let him learn how to drive, start driving it. Because I remembered what it was like to be young and told, you're too little. You're too young. Bob, how old were your kids when you put them on tractors? About 10, weren't they? Well, whenever they could reach some pedals. And you know, and I thought about that. Why should I say no? He's almost as big as me, if y'all haven't figured that out. I'm sure last week kind of showed that. He's looking me in the eye. And we take it that our kids are stupid. Kids are not stupid. We need to understand this first and foremost. They are not stupid. Because they're the ones you take your cell phone to or your computer and say, can you fix this? And it's done. And so I was like, all right. So I let him drive it. And his face lit up. He was just so happy. And he's like, can I dig something? I said, well, and I hadn't started the hole yet. And I said, no, you can't do that yet. Because I didn't know what I wanted to do yet. So I went and I started clearing that. And I kept telling him, he said, I'm going to be in the house. I said, if you're in the house and I'm ready for you to be out here, I'm not waiting for you. If you're not around, you missed your chance. He kept coming in and out and I'd see him. And I was down there and that behind all, you need to understand the ragweed has got stalks that big around in this area. You can't, they're 10 feet tall themselves. And I'm down another 3 feet. And so he can't see me, but he can hear that little diesel motor just a putting. And he comes over and I'm digging there and he's running around playing with the dog. And then finally I waved him in. And I look around and there he is right behind me. I said, hang on, let me get it ready for you. And spun it around there and I said, all right. And I said, this does this and does it. And he said, okay. And I'm standing on the tracks beside him. And actually, I was sitting on the arm because I was trying to figure out how not to get knocked off the thing. It was very uncomfortable. I found a place where I could stand and the machine wouldn't knock me off. And he started digging. He just grabbed the controls. Starts digging like he'd been running the thing for 10 years. I looked at him and I said, how did you know how to do this? He said, I've been watching you, Dad. And I'm like, I'm trying to retrain myself how to run this stupid thing. Because it's all joysticks now. And when I got to operate some things in the construction field, there were more different controls. Now they're just little joysticks. And I'm trying to remember which arm does this, which goes here. And he said, I watched you. Oh, he could have dug a hole to China. I didn't care. But he just kept digging and kept digging. And I've tried to do that with all my boys when I could give them the opportunity to do things. Jesse wanted to run the skid loader one time. Well, you know what? He's going to have to. It's the only way he's going to learn how to do it. Is he going to make mistakes? Oh, yeah. Anybody jump in something? Did anybody drive perfectly the first time? And if you raise your hands, I will dig your parents up and ask them. The answer is absolutely not. You did not drive perfectly the first time. I was let my little brother drive my truck when I was 18. I had a 71 Datsun, the 5-speed, and I let him drive it. And I said, now you got to push the clutch in and shift now. So he let go of the steering wheel, and reached over, grabbed the gear shifter, pulled it down, and then he grabbed hold of the steering again. He went like this. We're driving down the road, and he's got both arms crossed. Thank God there was nobody coming and that we weren't going very fast. But it was just moments like that, you know, and he still remembers that to this day. I didn't realize that at that point I was the first person to let him drive. There's been people I've let shoot my shotguns. They said, you were the first person to ever let us shoot a gun, and they were raised around them. And so there was things that I didn't realize that God was training me to be a father. So having said that, in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. A word you can replace and with is even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, here's what, you know, many of you were raised like this. Many of you, I was. It was, you're just going to do what I say because I say. There's times for that. But you need to understand, folks, sometimes you need to explain something, and a child will get it. If you can explain to me mechanically how something works, I get it. But if you try to go in with math and all this other stuff that I don't get, you've lost me. You just tell me that the thing can lift up what I want to lift up and I can move it. Yesterday, I moved a baby grand piano with that track hoe. Jesse was given a baby grand piano and we had to go pick it up yesterday in the rain. Got it home, it still played good. It's sitting in my barn. But we had it on its side and we got to flip it over. And I mean, we're starting, because there was four of us that loaded it and only three of us to unload it. And I said, why are we hurting ourselves? We got a track hoe. I said, get a strap around it, we'll go. Now there have been people that, they got to figure out the math. And you know, and Jesse's never flipped anything like that. I worked at Mettler Toledo and painted and flipped truck scales. So I knew how to flip stuff and lift stuff. And I told him, so we get another strap going here. And we raised it up, and him and his buddy just flipped the thing right over and sat it on its legs. And, you know, if somebody would have tried to explain the math and getting the straps centered, I'd have never got that. But it just took one time for somebody who thought like me to say, here, just figure out where the weight is and then off-center it. Get centered on that weight and it'll balance out. And it made sense to me from that point on. But that's why I didn't do well in school after a certain point. When I loved, and I think it's a detriment to society today that we don't have shop class. We took out an entire industry, folks, when we took those classes out. Do you know that in another 10 years, if you think $70 an hour for a plumber right now is high, that cost is going to go up because there's fewer and fewer of them. Everybody thinks a computer can build a pipeline. We're going right back to needing these fields. And you know what? These guys, they may not know the technical, how much this and that's going in. They know how to do the job. Just because they don't know the math or they don't know the Latin words for whatever it is they're doing doesn't mean they're stupid. And so as fathers in particular, I can't speak as a mother, but mothers, this applies to you. It says train up the child in the way he should go. Mothers, you have a lot of opportunity and time with your children. You actually have a little closer bond than the fathers. Back in biblical times, you know, today we're taught, well, the father, you know, child doesn't go with the father. Let me put it this way. We want to try to live biblically on things. In the Bible, after a child was three, he went to work with his dad. He went to work with his father, and his father taught him about God and about his new line of work he was going to inherit one day. His father was the one that trained him up in those things. Today, it's not. Today, we bring them to church. Well, you need to teach my kid about Jesus. No, you need to teach your kid about Jesus. And I will help teach Carter about Jesus. But if it's your kid, you are responsible for teaching them about Jesus. You are responsible for living a holy life out in front of them. It is your responsibility. People don't want to take responsibility today. Well, that's not my responsibility. Yes, it is. They're your child. Training. Training is not something that happens in one day, is it? No, not at all. Training is an ongoing thing. I praise God that He blessed me with a wonderful dog. That dog was so easy to train. He is so smart. And I'm not just joking. This dog, he does, I've told you before, he backs up into the weeds around the yard and poops in the weeds, not in the grass. Now, having said that, I will state this. I have a little herb planter out by my garden that I put mint in there, and I like to take the mint and break it off, put it in my water. I walked out to the barn the other day, and I look over, and there's Remy watering my herbs. I said, well, guess who's going to change where his herbs are at? Fortunately, I have not had any out of it yet, so I won't. It'll just be Remy's marking spot. But he is such a smart dog, but we had to train him. He came up and would scratch on the door. We trained him, started training him to bark. If the TV's up, you ain't hearing a scratch. But a bark, you can usually hear the bark. He comes to the door, barks, and lets us know, I want in, guys. And if he wants to go out, he will go over and he will stand and keep looking back, say, hey, he won't bark to let us know he wants to go out. He'll just keep looking at us. I'm over here. Y'all should know what this means. I need to go out. And he has only used the bathroom a couple times in the house. I had a dog that every chance it got, it pooped in the house. But Remy is such a smart dog, but he required training. How many of you remember the movie The Black Stallion? Good movie, isn't it? Fast, beautiful black Arabian stallion. Totally worthless to its owner because it would not be broken. It would not be trained. But a little boy gets to break it, gets to train it. And when he was able to train that horse and then using somebody who knew horses and how to actually race them, they took that horse's speed and they used it to its advantage. And by the way, and I'm sure it's the same with horses as it is with people, they're individuals. You got to learn the temperament of the horse. And when I was in the Philippines, we went trail riding up in the mountains, in the jungle. They had two horses, and they asked us, we have two horses. Who has ridden a horse before? Well, my buddy Scott hadn't, so I raised my hand. I should have known I was in trouble. They said, all right, you get this horse. She's a little cantankerous. She was a racehorse. That's okay. I can handle her. As soon as I got on that horse, my butt barely hit the saddle, and away we went to the other end of the corral, which was a fence. Praise God, there was a gate there to the right that she knew where it was at. She hit that gate, and down the road we went, and they're like, pull back, pull. I'm like, can you guys not see I'm standing on the horn pulling? And I was pulling back with both. That horse would not give to me. Finally, I got her to clip-clop back, and we went back here. Well, I know why they gave Scott the horse he had. He was lazy. It didn't want to go on the ride. And so we're going up this mountain. And every time, his horse would just keep dropping back, and he'd go, my horse had good hearing. My horse would take off up a mountain in the jungle. You need to understand, there are no guardrails. We're looking at bamboo that's 100 feet tall. Waterfalls, sheer cliffs, okay? You're getting the picture. This is only my second time on a horse. I have not been on a horse since. Unless you count the iron type. They don't have their own brain. Because on the backside of that mountain, there was a trail that was just like that. And down at the bottom, you had to veer to the right. Y'all remember the man from Snowy River when he went over that? I was laying on her rump trying to stay on this hill because she decided to go off the main path that kind of walked down the side. This was a wash. And that horse just took off and there we went. And I'm laying back. I'm like, oh, I don't want to die. And down at the bottom, there was that ravine. She, whoop. Folks, that was the last time I rode a horse. I don't want anything that's got its own brain. But his horse kept trying to make it get along. They have individual needs, just like a child. I have three boys. You'd think they'd all be the same. You'd think they would all like the same things. No, they don't even like the same foods. And we did not, what's the word, really allow them too much to be picky eaters. Joshua, I don't know that there's a food he doesn't like. But when Jesse came along, Jesse is a little pickier. He remembers a particular one time about eating some spinach, and he was gagging on it. Justin's even pickier. I'm like, where did this come from? I like food. There's hardly anything I don't like. I will eat it if it doesn't try to eat me first, and then I will kill it and try to eat it. But you see, we had to learn with each boy. Now, I honestly wish I had learned a lot of this sooner, but I learned it on the cuff, right? You say, well, there really is no book. Dr. Spock's an idiot. Okay? You got to have kids to know how to raise kids. And then once you realize that what I'm telling you really ain't going to apply to Carter. He's a totally different individual. Why? Because he's part of his mommy. I don't know what his mommy was like growing up. I didn't know her then. I can look at her and mom and dad are over here. Yeah. Everybody's, let us tell you a few things. But when we are trained, we're supposed to be trying to bring out the best in them. Not make mini-me's. That's what everybody wants to do, isn't it? They want to be, well, you should be just like me. No. They got to be who God created them to be. There's a part in them. I mean, I look in all three of my kids, and I see a part of me, and I see a part of Angela, and there's parts I don't know where they came from. Yeah, I mean, it's got to be a great-grandfather, maybe some grandfather traits that we just never really paid attention to. Whatever's going on, these things just kind of started developing over time. And when we try to make mini-me's out of our children, we do them a harm. We do ourselves more harm instead of realizing, okay, this child is different than me. I need to watch this child. Now, having said that, we're going to talk about this one real quick quip. The Bible tells us to spare not the rod, right? That's all. When you start talking about training children, every message I ever heard, that's where they started their foundation. Beat your child. He will not die. Let's get something straight. Spanking is for rebellion, not mistakes. Do you hear me? Spanking is for rebellion, not a mistake. Because God knows every last one of us should be beaten every day, right? I know some of the teachers in here would love to be able to do that again. I know mine did for a while. But the truth of the matter is, rebellion. Listen, when you can quash that while it's little, you don't have to fight it when they're teenagers. I got to talk the I guess he's a deacon or something at that church down there. He's a retired state patrol officer. And he was, you know, just telling me a little bit about that church and, you know, how that church has come into that community down there and how it's really changing the face of that community. It was on it was down by the tracks, okay? So anytime you're near the tracks, it's obvious, it's an automatic no, it's a bad spot. But this guy said this church came in here, this pastor came in, and they started working with the community. And I don't know if it was a black community or not in that area, but you know, this guy just started talking to me about the kids. He works with the youth a lot. And he says, you know, he says, especially in the black community, we got a lot of kids coming in. And he's a black man. He said, we got a lot of kids coming in who don't have fathers. Their fathers are in prison for drugs and other crimes. He said, so they're being raised without fathers. And mamas, I'm sorry, I don't care who you are. You don't know how to be a man. Quit listening to society today say, you know how to be just as good of a man as a man does. No, you don't. You don't think the same as a man. God created you to be a woman. Men are different. I mean, my little sisters, they love to do their Barbie dolls up and stuff, you know, and they did mess up their hair just as much as I did. But I would pull the head off. Or the legs, okay? Or try to blow them up somehow. But not them. They wanted to nurture. They wanted to love. And so guys have to be, that's why I prayed that we would be men. And that's why I challenged you today to be men. Men that children, listen, some of you, you're in grandfather, great-grandfather role now. And father. Some of you, you may just be an uncle right now. But you need to understand, when a child in your sphere of influence looks at you, they are looking at you as a man or a woman. And if you're sitting in here today, they should be looking at a man or woman of God. Not somebody who's moved easily by all the winds of change. Winds of change happen all the time. The word of God stands true. It does not change, folks. And the reason it sounds like we're changing our doctrines and stuff today is not because the word of God changed. It's because men changed the doctrines of God. Beat your child, beat your child, beat your child. You know what helped? And then they go, well, I don't want to spoil my child. I don't want to give them everything. You know, that wouldn't be a godly thing to do, to spoil my child. Because anybody find me the scripture that says if you give your children good things, you tell them that you love them. You tell them that you... that you believe in them. You tell them how great they are. You tell it. Find me a scripture where it says that spoils them. You won't find it. It says sparing the rod. In other words, not disciplining them ruins them. That is what's wrong with society today. So let's say if I never spanked Jesse, and I spanked him when I could catch him. He was already screaming when we got the belt down or the paddle. We tried to stick with a paddle. But say, I never, ever disciplined my child. But all I ever told him was, he was so great. You're so good. You're so great. You're so great. And people go, well, I'm speaking goodness over him. No, you're not. You can't say, I'm going to speak life into you and let you be rotten. That don't work. But by disciplining him and telling him that he's good and that I believe in his dreams, even if I'm not on board with him, that's fine. They're his dreams. I fought for Joshua when he was little, kept telling me, I want to be a mechanic, Dad. I want to work on things. I want to be a mechanic. And I said, no, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't want to be a mechanic. And that boy just kept fighting me and fighting me. And he wanted to be a mechanic. And you know what he is? He's a mechanic. I couldn't change his mind. I'm like, no, you don't. No, you don't. I wanted him to do something else besides wrenching. But hey, we got to have mechanics. We need good mechanics. So praise God. But I finally just said, you know what? It's your life. It's your dreams, whatever, you run. Do our dreams change? Yeah, they have to. Because sometimes, well, I know it was a couple years ago, Jesse's like, oh, he got an eye, his wild hair that he wanted to be a train engineer. He's like, man, you know what they make? I said, yeah. I said, do you know that inside 10 years there won't be an engineer on the train? They're all going to be computer controlled. And that was from their sites. Because he started talking about, oh, I'm going to look it up. I'm going to check information out. Because he's at the role where he needs to start being trained on what to do. I'm like, yeah, you might want to save your time. Those jobs aren't going to be there long. So he's developed other skills. And we've encouraged him in those skills. The same thing with Justin. He's got a lot of talents too. It's up to me to figure out, and her to figure out, how to bring them out the best. That's what training up a child is. Now go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. It says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." The word wrath is actually frustrated. You fathers, do not provoke your children to frustration. Anybody ever get frustrated? Do you know what this is saying our frustration is? It's anger. We're angry at a situation. We are angry with how things are turning. I look back at times, I'm like, man, I blew that. I got frustrated with one of the boys and I just blew up on him. And sometimes there's a time for a good butt chewing. And then you drop it, you check your attitude at the door, and you get the thing rolling again. I was watching Keeping Up with the Joneses last night. It's a show on Netflix about this 1.3 million acre ranch in Australia. And, you know, when they haul a truckload of livestock down the road, it's called a road train. These things have 60 wheels. Think about that for a minute. They can carry 200 head of cattle. And this guy was, his son was just home from school, and they were trying to haul some hay, get some hay hooked up. So three large trailers hooked onto this thing. And this guy's trying to back him up. He's got to back him up just perfect so that the thing hits. But here, and this is what I saw in the thing. Dad had a real jumpy leg on the clutch. When he got close, he just liked to slam it. And it would knock that hitch out. And the guy kept coming back. Finally, after about the third time, he says, "You know, why don't you just wave me back?" And I thought, well, first off, why didn't you tell him? Train him in that. Say, don't wave me back unless I'm on it. Because he's like, I'm getting tired of walking back and forth. Because it's a long trailer. And they said, you know, the narrator said, you know, when this guy starts losing his temper, you see his hat kick up. And then the next time he came back, he didn't have it on. They said, look out. But the guy handled it pretty decently. And that's when he said, you know what? Tell me when I need to come back, because I'm getting tired of getting out of the truck and walking all the way back here. When he calmed himself down, the kid was able to get back in because he was getting frustrated. He hadn't done it in a long time. Oh, it's just like riding a bike. You should be able to jump right on. Oh, hogwash. I'd like to see some of you ain't rode a bike in 50 years. Get on one. Remind me to get my camera. It's going to be on AFV tomorrow night. Tells us not to provoke our children to frustration. What happens when you get frustrated? You blow your temper and you quit. Right? You know what? Here's what I'm going to tell you right now. When you're getting frustrated with something, stop. Lay it down. Whatever you're doing, lay it down. Walk away. Get yourself clear first. Oh, I just got to stick to it. That's why we have a generation that's angry and they don't know why. Because we didn't ever teach them, back off, get your mind clear, and hit it again. And you know what? Many of you have been here. You know what I'm saying? It's the truth. When you back away from it, clear your mind. Go get a drink. Go get a snack. Come back. And I guarantee you, usually within 10 to 15 minutes, you got a problem that you spent half a day wasted on. You figured it out. Because you were able to let... You have this wonderful gift inside your cranium. It's called a brain. Well, it's not as smart as a computer. Keep in mind that a human brain created the computer. All these robots... The human brain did that. Not a computer. That thing between our ears did that. So it can figure out your mundane little problem. But sometimes you just got to get away from it. But we've been taught, well, you just got to, that's not sticking to it. It's not sticking to it. Yes, it is. It's goal accomplishment. It's not about, well, I got it done and you know, I did more damage than I ever did good. Yeah, you're not doing a real good job. So as fathers, In particular, it's what who Paul was addressing here. Because the sons in particular were with the fathers, not to frustrate them, so that they quit dreaming. I couldn't imagine life if my kids didn't have dreams. I wouldn't want to imagine a life where my kids were robbed of their dreams. If they don't want to follow in my footsteps, that's fine. It's hard, and I think about it. You know, when Joshua graduated and then later moved out, and, you know, Jesse's about to, you know, graduate, and then he's going to be moving at some point in life. And then Justin, you know, and where were their dreams going to take them? My adventures took me 13,000 miles from home. That's a long way. But you have to be able to see clearly. If you're frustrated, if you were frustrated with your dad, I'm speaking primarily to the men, maybe even the women, you've got to forgive him. You've got to move on with your life and understand that he only did what he knew how to do. I started reading a book by Chip Gaines from Fixer Upper. And his dad's dad walked out when his dad was five, just left. So he had no idea how to be a man, or let alone a father. And, you know, he said, my dad and I, the only thing we connected on was baseball. That was it. We did not build a real relationship on anything else. And I know right now many of you are thinking, I know so-and-so. They built the relationship around a sport or a family activity, and that was it. They didn't know each other. And he said, we grew apart. And he said, especially when I got cut. He got cut in college. And he really said, I didn't know exactly how to be a father or a man like that, you know. But one thing he did hold on to is he said, I love my dad. And he said, we've worked on our relationship. And he said, what I've done, and he says, I'm sure I know what that my father was just doing what he saw other fathers doing with their sons and how he wanted. He said he did the best he could. And that's where we got to realize there's a generation that's coming up. We've come up from a generation, folks, where, you know, it wasn't too long. Justin was telling us they were learning about the Greeks. If a child was born with a disability, they threw it off a cliff. Think about that for a moment. That's what you think of your child. And yet today we now know that children, even with disabilities, can do just as much. Sometimes they're smarter. So, by the way, if you paid attention, the Greeks were overthrown, and now they're in severe debt to Germany. So what's that say about all the abortion and killing of children? Which China owns us, so don't get too high and mighty. So we need to be careful when we're with our children. Develop relationships and everything. You know, Joshua, when he was little, he hated sports with balls. I tried to play baseball with him. I'd go out there, we'd be in the yard, and I'd be throwing the ball at him, and he'd be off looking at a truck driving by. I remember I think it was the baseball or the football, and I got frustrated. I will admit this. I forget how old he was, but he's looking somewhere across the yards looking at somebody's truck, and we were playing catch, and I threw the ball square in his chest. It hurt him a little bit, but it got his attention. He didn't really cry, but I was like, focus. But like I said, I wish I had learned a lot of this before. I did that I was trying to develop something that I wanted. Now, my dad would go out and play catch with me once in a great blue moon, and I loved playing baseball and football. And periodically, we'd go do it. That was all my dad and I had, except work. And I did not want work being the only connection. That was it. I've tried to develop things with my kids, and it, I ain't gonna lie, it's hard to do things other than work. But you need to do that. You need to develop an all-around relationship with your kids. I do think there's one thing that I used to do, and I got away from it, that Joshua loved, and I think all my boys really enjoy, and that was car shows. I used to love to go to them. But when he was little, I was working Saturdays. Couldn't go to the car shows. And then I just lost interest. And now, well, I praise God they're still around. And that we do things together. We go on vacation. My family never, ever went on vacation. Any vacation that we called vacation was actually a funeral. Somebody died, and we were going to go see a few other family members while we were there. Seriously, we wait until people die to take a break. Oh, by the way, it's not because we were so busy. It's because we were so self-centered. To this day, they're still that way. I hate to say that. If you are self-centered on your dreams alone, listen, part of my dream is to see my children succeed in everything they put their hands to do. And if they don't succeed, I failed at trying to help them. It's not my responsibility to make sure Jesse's weld shop gets up and running. That's his, but it is my job to motivate him, to encourage him. And whenever college time rolls around for basketball, what is it, 6%, maybe less than that of high schoolers get to go play college balls in their sport. I don't know what the actual percentage is, but it's not real high. That's his dream right at the moment. What was the other thing if he didn't? Oh, he wants to drive truck and haul cattle. Big differences on both sides. But the equipment side, that's what motivates him. He loves that stuff. That's why he got out there and he did okay. Now, a couple weeks ago, he plowed my four-wheeler into the barn. So I ain't saying that he's a perfect driver. We still haven't pulled the front end out yet. But you know what? And I'm going to be honest with you. Joshua and I went to look at it. Justin comes in there, and I just told him, I said, be careful. Don't do anything stupid. And we hadn't been in there, 10 minutes? And here comes Justin, and I said, you get a helmet on. Because the last time he was riding it, he rolled it end over end. And I said, get a helmet on, and don't do anything stupid. Well, 10 minutes later, here's Justin. He's standing there, and I ain't paying attention. I thought he wanted to come. Wanted to just come out and watch him ride around the barn. He's like, he told Mom, I wrecked the four-wheeler. I'm like, what? I wrecked the four-wheeler. He said, I hit the rocks. That's what he told us. I got a pile of rocks behind the barn that I'm gathering. I hit the rocks. Okay, so you hit the rocks and fell over. Now, he had road rash from his ankles up to his shoulder where he went sliding down the driveway. All right, Joshua, I gotta go see this. So we went out and come around the corner. And we're like, he didn't hit the rocks. He's sitting on top of the rocks. The pile of rocks is about this tall. He hit a barn that did not move. And the front end of my four-wheeler, the rack and everything is pushed back and the plastic's... I'm like, how do you hit a barn? It doesn't move. Nothing changes with it. And then Joshua later, I was carrying the helmet and I threw it at the barn and walked in and I kept my mouth shut. I did tell him, I said, it's going to be a while before you get to ride the four-wheeler again. He said, this is the second time you've wrecked it. Pretty good. I said, you're out driving your skills. I said, you develop skills by driving slow and doing little things. Because Joshua told me, he said, Dad, here's what I think he did. Because he said, we used to do it on the motorcycle. He said, we'd ride this little dip and we'd come up out of that dip. He said, and if you didn't come out straight, you were headed right to the barn. And about a week later, Justin and I were talking, and I told him, I said, listen, I want you to know. I said, you're going to get to ride the four-wheeler again, but if you're going to jump something, don't jump at a barn. You could have went the other way. There's nothing but a 120-acre field behind it. If you rolled over a few beans, I'd pay Ray for the beans. And he looked at me, and I said, what, you didn't think we'd figure it out? Because he didn't tell us how he did it. He was jumping the four-wheeler. And I said, that's the only way you, because I said, we figured out, Joshua figured out, you had to have jumped it. That's the only way you could have landed on the rocks. We're not talking about gravel. We're talking rocks. Now, I remember a time in life that I probably would have ripped his head off, spit down his neck, and put my foot in his backside. And would have been bent out of shape over a $700 four-wheeler. And he was fine. I said, but you know what's going to suck? I said, is when we have to clean the gravel out of those, that road rash. Oh, Dad, it's not really road rash. It was the driveway. I said, you do understand that's just the term for when you slide your butt down a road or anything with gravel in it. Oh, and he hurt for a couple days. He's like, oh, how's it looking, Dad? I said, well, it looks sore. But you see, that's the unfortunate side of being a parent, isn't it? You don't realize this stuff until the end. But fathers, mothers, it is our responsibilities to pass that on to the next generation. That's why things are being dropped. Do you know there was not too many years ago, people knew their family heritage. They knew their family heritage. They knew where their family came from. They knew everything about it. Now, there might be a few things in there. Justin was asking the other day about it and was like, well, we're Scottish, but there's more than likely some Irish from your grandmother or from my mom's side and possibly even Karen's side. And he started getting excited And then he said, but I said, here's one that might really thrill you. I said, we're also Viking. Ooh, that really made him happy. I said, but just so you know, there is a percentage of North African in there. I said, I always told people, I said, there's a little African in everybody's woodpile. I don't care. You'll find some. And I really don't, that's the way we're supposed to be. Man, if my DNA is all one line, holy Toledo, don't let me go out in the sun. I'll burn up. We need to tell our children this stuff. We need to pass this information on. And as fathers and mothers, we need to talk. Fathers, talk to your sons about marriage, really about marriage. And don't be negative about all of it. I just wanted to clarify that because a lot of people, son, well, just don't do it. No. Is it a fight sometimes? Yes, it is. I would be a liar if I stood up here and said, oh, yeah, we never butt heads. Baloney. We just about butted heads this morning. Well, we did butt heads. Guess who lost? Did you notice we're dressed alike? Well, we didn't really do any headbutting, but I said, you're not dressing me. Quit trying to dress me. She said, I want you to look nice. Actually, Carter's wearing the color blue. So, but anyhow, folks, if we do not train our children, that's part of training them. Dads, talk to your sons. Listen, one of the things you can ask Joshua when he got his first girlfriend, I said, buddy, when you're ready to get married, here's the only thing I want you to know. Make sure you love her. You had better love her. Because if you don't, this is going to be bad. And that, he'll tell you that. I told him that probably a couple times. Make sure you love her. I wanted to make sure he got that. If you do not love each other, stop. Just walk away now. Before there's children who are split apart. And I've said it once and I'll say it again. Quit shacking up. You love each other, get married. Well, we're just waiting until all the finance. Oh, hogwash. My mom and dad got married at the county courthouse. That would have been good enough for me, but my wife had other plans for a church wedding, so we had a church wedding. And God moved and made it happen for her. So what I'm saying, again, I'll wrap this up, folks. If we're going to train up our children, and like I said, it does not matter. My role as father didn't stop when he got married and when he graduated. I'm still his father. I can still help him. I'm just not in the, I'm the coach and you're just going to do what I said because I said. Or in my case, the drill instructor. You're just going to do it because I said it. That's it. Jesse's about to that stage where, and he's getting there, where I'm a little less hands-on. I started letting him have a little more freedom. And you can ask him when you get to the end of the rope. I think I heard somebody say they got pulled over by a cop one time, and they said, "Guess you're going to have to give me a warning, hon." He said, "Nope, I give you guys enough rope, and when you hang yourself, you're hung." And that's what I do with my boys. I start letting them have a little more freedom. Not all the freedom, because here's a real news flash for people. 18-year-olds can't handle just suddenly off the leash. They can't. I'll tell you right now. Anybody know what Cinderella Liberty is? You had to be in your barracks at midnight. I'm a U.S. Marine. I can stay out all night. No, you can't. Your can's going to be back home in your bed because you're getting up at 4:30. No matter how drunk you are. And trust me, there were a lot of guys, they could barely stand the next day to go running. We tried to get them to the back because we didn't want everybody to get a contact buzz because they were so drunk. We really can't handle it. And that's why with my boys really never did, at least Joshua, and Jesse's still at home. And he knows to get this now if he does anything really stupid. I've told him, if you're going to be late, call me. You have a cell phone. There's no excuse. But by letting them have freedom, I'm going to hopefully help some of you, by letting them have some freedoms as they're growing up, get a little more freedom, get to go do this, get to do that, they don't go wild. I went wild. That's all there was. I wasn't allowed freedom. And that's how I know you will go wild. I went out with a girl once. Her parents were the same way. As a matter of fact, the mom threatened me. Usually it was the dad. But this time the mom threatened me. No problem. I don't even think I put my arm around that one. But I will tell you this. When she finally got a little bit more freedom, she went nuts. She went totally nuts. Partied. And I do believe she has finally realized, she did realize a long time ago that wasn't a real good path. Don't do what was done to you just because you think it's the only way. You got to let them have some freedom. And then you got to know when to pull back on the reins, just like the black stallion. Alex had to know when to let him have his head and when to pull back. Because if they let the horse run all out, he'd wear himself out the whole race. And then he'd lose. So, all right, let's stand. So I'm going to go ahead and throw this out here for the next couple weeks. Please overlook some of the mess. This week I'll be jackhammering concrete over here, and then there's going to be boards down on the floor until we get sewer lines in and such. So please give me some mercy. Because I made one big, big mess the other day with that concrete saw. And I've only got half of the hallways all that's cleared. There's cut behind the walls. So there's all kinds of that garbage there too. But just got to make a mess before it can look better. That's the unfortunate thing with construction. It's got to get ugly before it gets to looking good. So just give me that mercy for a little bit, and you'll start seeing the hallway. We were going to run with the same color carpet, but we do not have enough to do that. So we're going to have to go find some carpet that'll work with this, and then get that floor down and open that hallway up a little better and get things cleaned up. Oh, yes, yes. So if you're coming and you got some pruners yourself, make sure they're sharp and bring them. And yeah, and if you want to bring somebody. I thought I was such a really good rose horticulturalist or whatever. We lived in town. We had some heirloom roses, and they were beautiful, big. And I'd prune them back. And then one day we started having problems with our toilet flushing. And when I broke into the sewer line, I found out why my roses look so good. They were well fertilized. They were watered year round and getting lots of nutrients. But praise God. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for this day. Lord God, I pray right now for each and every one of us. Lord, those of us who are parents, those of us who will be future parents. Lord, I pray right now that you help us each and every day to remember that somebody is watching us. Somebody is learning things from us. One, to make sure we're doing it to the best of our abilities and for us to be able to relay that information over and how we learned not to do it the wrong way. That's sometimes as important to me, Lord, as anything. So, Father, I pray right now that you move on each and every heart in here today. Father, I thank you for each and every person in here today, Lord. I bless them this week, Father, as they go about their week. Lord, I pray, Father, for those who are having issues with being frustrated at themselves, at their situations. Lord, I pray right now the peace to come over them. Lord, that when they go to lose that peace, Father, that you move and help them to release the anger that they have. In Jesus' name, amen.